I know got kicked off of Twitter for posting a quote from Caddyshack about killing all the golfers.
Yeah.
And didn't our friend William Tokarski, who was just on the show, he got in trouble.
Well, he posted a picture of a baby drinking a beer.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Who got upset by that? Right? Nobody.
Some algorithm somewhere.
Yeah. Algorithm is an asshole.
I'm ready for the metaverse. I know that because I was out. I am, because I was outside cleaning up dog shit a few days ago, and I felt like the conditions were right for rain, and I was a half a second from saying, Alexa, is it gonna rain tonight? And I was outside just like I almost said it out loud.
You can get Alexa on your iPhone and set it to listen to you.
But I was saying it to the sky, Jeff, like to the atmosphere.
Well, if you like, had your phone on,
I'm ready for it. I'm ready to join the hive.
Are you part of that PSI, that poop scene investigation unit?
We're going to talk about that. Now, listen, you sent that to us earlier this week. We record on Wednesdays. The show comes out on Saturday. But, well, it's actually Thursday today, but it doesn't matter. But I want to talk about this. But first, Jeff looks like he's got a tornado behind him, a brewing tornado, which I guess he's paying homage to what happened in Atlanta this week. All those damn storms that kept waking us up, but at least it blew away all the pollen, but it didn't really help me. But I don't have the BA Baracus variant, which is the variant you get when they knock you out so they can fly you someplace.
I said I ain't getting on no airplane, Hannibal.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We watch.
Who's the guy that played Murdoch? What's his name on the A Team? Do you remember, Jeff? Dwight Schultz is his name.
Dwight Schultz, yeah.
He's one of the few people from the Next Generation that isn't going to be on Picard on the third season, which it seems like they're just going to do another season of the Next Generation because everybody's coming back.
Will Wheaton?
No, not Will Wheaton either, for some reason. Maybe he's got that stupid.
That's a cool idea, though. to be able to get a reunion just thrown into a show as opposed to having to create one from scratch.
Yeah. Well, you know that I'm not going to die in season two. Maybe I am, and they have to come find my corpse.
No, he's a robot now, so it doesn't matter.
No, he's a robot, but he's a robot that's programmed to expire.
I don't want to live forever. Seven of nine. Seven.
I like how they call her seven.
Seven.
So Tim got hooked on Picard, by the way.
I don't like it, but I'm going to watch it. It is perhaps the greatest challenge for me to continue watching something that I despise. Some of it I like, but most
wait till Strange New Worlds comes out. You're going to
I'm not going to watch that at all.
Dude,
it looks cool.
No interest.
The episodes with Anson Mount as Captain Pike that were on Star Trek Discovery were the best episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
Anson Williams?
No, Anson Mount.
I'd watch it if Anson Williams was the captain.
So we'll talk about Picard. It's just Potsy.
It's just Potsy. Hey, make it so. I don't do a good
Picard, easier than the younger Picard. Q, God damn you, Q. God damn it. I shit my pants.
Underwear, hot.
Yes. What is this? This is coffee, you fucking bald robot. Shit.
I like having those androids, although I would... And never mind, I don't want to be gross. We'll talk about that a little more later. I also started watching the 4K remastered director's cut of Star Trek The Motion Picture last night.
Why, you couldn't sleep?
That was awesome.
You couldn't sleep?
No, dude, I loved it. I love that whole beginning, that whole 2001. Yeah. It's slow. It's purposeful. It has meaning. There's no cut, fight, laser. It's just, hey, you're going to watch the Star Trek movie, you stony. Mm-hmm. 1979 motherfucker. And I like that. I miss those days. Now it's hey, light flash, hey, here's his droid, blah.
And the transfer looks really good too. It doesn't look amazing. Like you're looking at it through a glass of milk like it used to.
You know, the thing that freaked me out, I had a legal CBD gummy last night. So I came in and had the movie all set up, put my little headphones in so I don't wake the family up, you know, connected to the Roku and blast off. Here we go. I hear the theme to Star Trek The Next Generation. And I'm freaking out going, what did I put this on? And it's because of these CBD gummies, you know, they really hit me. And I'm going, what the fuck? And why is this theme here? And I'm like, did when they remastered it, they add, and it really freaked me out for about 5 minutes. And then finally I paused it and I looked on Wikipedia and they just repurposed it for The Next Generation. But that was the theme to Star Trek, the motion picture. And I had no clue because they didn't use it again.
Yeah,
in the Star Trek movie franchise. But it blew my mind. I was like, what the fuck? Because I haven't seen it since probably, I don't know, 1983, maybe.
And whenever it came on HBO was when I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, William Shatner, he was like a total smoke show in that movie.
He was pretty good looking in that.
Mm-hmm.
Bones has a beard. Why did they bring me up here? God damn it.
Hey, he looks like 85 pounds wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they were always old to us. So, you know, as they got older, it was never like a surprise. It wasn't until the last movie with the original cast that they looked super old.
We're older than Shatner now, right?
No.
And he wasn't 79. Are we older than him?
I think so. Well, he's 90 something now. So you're looking at 43 years ago. So
we're right about the same age, roughly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad thing. All right, so we'll talk about stuff like that. Hey, we're still alive, so that's good. As the world collapses around us and we sink into despair, we will talk about the shit later.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
Caleb Sinan, our guest, comedian friend, has a new half-hour special that has dropped, and you can find that where, Jeff?
He released it on YouTube. I imagine it's going to air somewhere, but he just released it today on YouTube for free.
Well, you can go down in the notes if you're listening to the audio podcast. If you're watching it on YouTube, I'm sure Dustin will put a link up and you can go right to it at the end of this show, though. Let us finish.
It's hilarious.
But you can always go back and watch it. Coming up next week on Radio Labyrinth, we are going to have on a regular show Matt Metzger and Josh Warren, both creators and creative people from The Campaign, which is wrapped up, and the first five episodes anyway. And we're going to talk to them about the reception and when we can expect to see more. And if you're interested in watching The Campaign, which is a fun show to watch, you can see it on the Fantasy Network. So just Google it, or of course, again, just click on the link that we provide to you. BK on the air, Barry King will be joining us. He is very well versed in pop culture. He'll be our next guest on Radio Labyrinth Presents, and I look forward to talking with him. He works with our friend Alan Sanders.
When is that?
We're recording Sunday night.
I want to get in on that.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a cool dude, and we've been wanting to talk to him for a long time, so we will. And I apologize for again for my stinky, crazy ass voice.
Another opening day, Harold.
You are more beautiful than a hot dog and a beer at Wrigley Field on opening day.
Woohoo! Play ball!
All right. So today is opening day in Major League Baseball. By the time you hear this, there'll have been 3 or 4 days. But,
no Freddie Freeman, no me. I'm not watching any baseball.
I'm kind of glad he's gone. Fuck Freddie Freeman. I mean, it's great. It's always that type of player that I never really, okay, big deal, whatever. Freddie Freeman, nobody was cool that he was the anchor of the team and he was sort of the captain of the team, whether he really was or not, the de facto captain. And then he just says, I'm going to go to fucking Los Angeles and play for the Dodgers, a team I have never in my life ever once rooted for.
What?
I hate the Dodgers, man. Well, yeah, the first World Series I remember watching.
So why you punched that picture of Tommy Lasorda?
Hey, you and Tommy Lasorda. I hate Tommy Lasorda.
No, that was Chevy Chase's Fletch, right? No, I like Tommy Lasorda. He was quite the character. All those great YouTube videos and of him losing his shit and screaming at his pitchers and stuff. But I kind of wanted to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox tonight, but that game got postponed, so I'll watch them over the weekend. But
is it raining?
Yeah, it's raining in New York, I believe. Real crappy weather up there. I think they had the stuff we had this week, just a little bit later. It was funny on the show this morning. My boss, Eric Von Hessler from the Von Hessler Doctrine, was like, well, what do you think about the season? Like, I don't know anything about the season. He snapped on me. He goes, you're supposed to be a Yankees fan. You don't care. I'm like, I know more about the Braves. I don't care. I just like to watch it. I don't root super for the Yankees anymore. I don't care.
Speaking of Eric, I saw your TV commercial.
Oh, yeah, that commercial that runs in the morning?
This was at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in prime time.
Oh, I didn't
maybe
know.
Maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet because I don't watch ABC. But maybe I'll see it soon. Did it look good? Did we all look good?
No, you look like shit. But
well, I know I look like
everybody
shit.
Else looked good.
Well, he yelled at me for being a Yankees fan and not knowing anything about the team. And then he goes, when you do a pop culture podcast, you don't know anything about pop culture. I know plenty about pop culture. I said, you know, the new Star Trek, we talk about Picard. And I said, I'm not going to watch Morbius. Well, you should watch Morbius. And I'm like, why would I put myself through such pain? Right? What's it called? Morbius? Who put that in there?
Yeah, Morbius. Silverback didn't like it. So if he didn't like it, then I'm out.
Well, there's too much to watch. Am I right or am I wrong?
But there's not too much good things to watch. There's just a lot to watch. If you start weeding through it, you kind of, when you start cherry picking, there's not a lot of good shit. There's just a lot of stuff.
No, but the good shit that's out now is really, really good.
Moon Knight.
I haven't watched that yet. Is that good? I heard mixed reviews.
I've only watched the first one so far. I was at Letterkenny Live last night, so I didn't get to watch the...
Oh, don't brag.
Don't start.
Yeah, Dustin got stuck and couldn't make it.
Yeah. I tried to do the let's drive from Athens to Atlanta in under an hour in the middle of a rainstorm.
That was a great idea.
Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah. I tried to send Dustin pictures from the show from his vantage point because I went and sat in his seat when he didn't show up.
Yeah.
And he blocked me, so I can't send any pictures to him.
I don't know why that blocked you. I'm still trying to figure that out.
It was resentment.
Yeah.
I actually told him to take pictures. I was like, show me at least what it would look like from my seat.
Well, how is Moon Knight? I want to know before I watch.
It's good.
I like it.
I know nothing about Moon Knight, the character. I was never a big Marvel guy to begin with.
Right.
But I have no knowledge of it whatsoever. It's good.
I'm halfway through the second episode. We had to stop it. But I really like it a lot.
Awesome.
You guys were 100% right about The Outlaws. I think that's my favorite show on TV right now.
Yeah, I like it.
That is
really good.
Great show. Everything about it I like. It's kind of a grittier. I mean, it has a little bit of the feel good element, maybe that Ted Lasso has, but a lot more.
It's got a little crime. It's got a little The Office kind of element too. Like, that cop would be the Michael Scott character.
Yep.
Did you guys ever watch Misfits?
No.
British show? It was very similar. It's probably, I don't know, 10 years old now, but it was a group of like teenagers who were arrested and had to do the same. It's set up the exact same way, but they, during their first day there's a lightning storm that gives them all superpowers.
Oh, wow.
And they have to like learn what they are and go through it. And it's an excellent show, but it reminded me a lot of that same kind of humor. And, but with the element of superpowers, which was kind of neat.
I might.
The chick cop, she kills me. Yeah, he looks like Chief Wiggum.
Yeah.
Yes.
She is so funny. And Stephen Merchant, I mean, obviously, since he basically creates, directs, stars, and it leans so much into his subtle humor. Yeah. Oh my God, when he was getting that blowjob in the car from the prostitute.
Yeah.
Oh my, I was crying.
And you're rooting for the people too. That's what I like, you know.
Yeah, he is so stupid. Are you guys watching Julia? That's what I want to know.
What's Julia?
No.
It's about Julia Child. It's set on HBO Max.
Who plays her?
I don't know. I've never seen this lady before, but she is perfection as Julia Child. Oh, and what's his face? David, yada, yada, the one who played Niles on Frasier.
David Hyde Pierce.
David Hyde Pierce. He plays her husband, and he's one. I mean, everybody is so good. Bebe Neuwirth plays her good friend, and it's, you know, it's all set in the 60s when her show first started getting to go on PBS. It gives you all the back story before PBS was PBS, when all it was just a local channel in Boston before they branched out, and it was all on her back is how they did it.
Wow.
It's great. I highly, highly recommend it. Julia on HBO Max.
Sarah Lancashire, but I don't know her. Never heard
she's incredible. It's like you're watching Julia Child.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like she just does a ton of British television shows. She's been on like a lot of them since like
she's
the early.
She's such a great 80s. Actress. But I really think all of you guys would really like it. It's great. It has like, you know, the real good nostalgia factor to it, but they still, you know, say fuck and and stuff like that. Yeah.
I watched Julia Child with my grandmother when I was a little kid because she liked to watch her. She'd laugh.
Yeah.
And then, we saw the classic Dan Aykroyd as Julia Child who cuts himself and just bleeds everywhere. I think I saw that when it aired.
Our buddy Nick is doing that cooking along with Julia thing, I don't know if it's some kind of new show or whatever, but you like watch Julia Child and cook.
Uh-huh.
Like you would be painting with Bob Ross.
Yeah.
You cook with Julia Child.
And he puts it out on video, right? On Facebook?
Yeah, he's doing these dinner and a show things.
Can we link to it?
Yeah, I guess we can find a link.
It for him.
Yeah. I'm doing the I'm cooking with the anal retentive chef.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Never actually cook anything. We just throw things away neatly.
Wrap it in aluminum foil and put it in a brown paper bag and then fold the top of the bag and then place the bag into the receptacle.
I watched this show on YouTube. It's called Wilderness Cooking. I talked about this. It's this guy in Azerbaijan. And it's sort of AMSR. Is that how you say it or is it ASMR?
ASMR.
ASMR. Where he chops everything up and he's like giant sturgeon kebabs made outside or... you know, how to cook a whole goat. And he has little goats and dogs running around. It's always snowing and he chops everything up. Doesn't say a word until the very end when he tastes it and he goes, super. but it's really cool. It's chill to watch when you're on a CBD gummy and there's nothing else on and you're tired of noise. It's like, I wish I could just go stand. He lives in a valley between these mountains. And they're all snow covered and all these cute little animals running around. It doesn't seem to be a lot of people around. I'd love to be there for just an hour one day. Wish I could teleport there.
That sounds serene.
Super.
It's nice now. Just wait until Vladimir Putin takes over.
He's not going to take over.
He likes nature.
Armenian.
He's always riding a horse with a shirt off.
Yeah, and he had soldiers dig trenches in Chernobyl. That was a smart idea.
Hey, I finally watched Spider-Man No Way Home. Oh, my God. That's my favorite. It was so good. It was the best Spider-Man ever.
Where can you see it?
We just went ahead and bought it.
Okay.
We just paid the 20 bones and bought it. Already watched it a couple times. Oh, my God. Having all three Spider-Mans on the screen. I never thought I would love it so much. I didn't even care about Andrew Garfield. But I love him in this movie.
Yeah.
As like an additional Spider-Man. Yes. He's good as an additional.
And William Dafoe take his cock out and show it to him.
I just was so crazy about it.
Were you sad when the thing happened?
Don't spoil it.
No. No. It reset it so that we'll actually get to keep on going. But to me, you got the Doc Ock and all the old villains are popping up. Jamie Foxx.
Miles Morales in it.
He's not in it, but I think, aren't they setting it up for him to be in the next one or something like that?
They should.
They make mention of the fact that Jamie Foxx is, I thought there'd be a black Spider-Man somewhere in this multiverse.
Well, anyway, I just want to see Willem Dafoe's giant cock. What was that? Someone just told me, or I read this, there's a movie where they had to use someone with a smaller penis than his because he kept scaring everybody. Might have been Apocalypse. What was it called?
Antichrist.
Antichrist. Yeah, that might be the one.
Yeah. And he was actually having, they were actually, the sex scene in the shower supposedly is actually real.
Yeah.
Penetration.
Real penetration. And they were filming their faces and everything. But yeah, it was actually going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come and look at my giant dick, Peter.
He definitely acts like a man that has a giant dick. He acts that way.
Yeah.
For good reason. If you've seen the rest of Antichrist. Yeah.
Oh, I would that never. One scene. No, thank you.
Never mind. Because I was going to say what happens, but I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, that's a vicious movie.
Wanted to watch it. And once I heard all the shenanigans surrounding it and everybody was taking him to task and didn't, but everybody walked out at Con or some shit because they were horrified or some crap.
All of his movies get that. That's a Von Trier?
Yeah. Von Trier.
Yeah, Von Trier's, yeah.
Yeah, all his movies get that same kind of thing. But I mean, as far as the movie, the cinematography and everything is genius, but the content is just...
The Ryan Gosling movie with the love doll was pretty good. I forget what that was called.
Yeah, that was good.
But it wasn't fantastical and out of this world.
Well, and he wasn't like, you know, brutally raping the doll and beating it or some shit. You know, it wasn't sick.
Yeah. All right. That's my favorite line, by the way, from the movie about Willem Dafoe is in the movie about Bob Crane. Autofocus.
Oh yeah,
he's wearing that novelty watch and he goes up to the woman, you want to know what time it is? Fuck time.
I say that at work all the time.
Yeah, fuck time. That was a good movie about Bob Crane. Then I made the mistake when that came out and joining up with Scotty Crane's website where you could watch his dad. Pretty bad.
You got to see Scotty Hogan's
Crane,
Hero.
His son had video of his dad banging people.
Well, his dad had tapes and tapes and tapes and tapes and tapes. So in order for Scotty to make a little bit of money, because I don't believe Bob Crane left much.
Seth Rogen broke into his house and stole all the tapes.
Sometimes you got to sell your father's dick to make some money.
Yeah, he created a website where you could pay and stream the Bob Crane porno movies.
I wish my mom had porn I could sell.
I'm glad mine doesn't.
We have ways of making you money.
Yes. We can make you money with the porn and the whatnot. All right, let's veer away from this. We always do. So earlier in the week, we posted on Facebook that we were going to be talking about some classic television themes. And by themes, we're not talking about molestation. Because that's an 80s thing that happened a lot. you know what I mean? I'm sick. What we're doing is we're talking about television themes. Some of your favorite classic themes could be from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, if there was one. They get increasingly rare as the closer you get to modern times. And I want to thank the people who posted, and we'll read some of those here in a minute.
Can I interrupt just for a moment before you get going? The whole reason why I wanted to do this was because you know how they don't really have good intros for shows anymore.
Right.
But in a updated modern way, we were watching Severance. The intro to Severance is incredible.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I will always watch every moment of it because it's just wild. That and Jeff, we watched all Chapel Wait. The intro to Chapel Wait is great. And I was just thinking, I mean, I guess this is like as good as we get now.
Yep.
But this used to be the norm where you always had a good intro. You didn't ever skip, even if you could, you wouldn't have skipped over it because you were into it.
And it also stayed in your mind all the time, the theme. I still remember lots of those themes. And as we go through them, for comedic purposes and also copyright purposes, we will each attempt to sing or maybe sing together. So we apologize in advance. So we're going to read a list that Steph found. I believe it's called the 25 best television themes of all time, which you can find on yardbarker.com, which is, I guess, an entertainment site. Yeah, and it came out recently. So we'll share that link with you. And we'll go through the list, and then we'll each do our, we each got to pick one of our favorites as an honorary mention, if it's not on the list, and then we'll read yours from Facebook. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Killer.
All right. So from the list from yardbarker.com, starting at number 25, who's going to read the intro to this? I guess I am, right?
Well, you're the one with the BA.
I'm not doing the BA voice. Remember how upset Steph got last week when I did Chris Rock?
I didn't get upset. The world did. I just let you know, don't do it.
We had to have Diversity Day training.
Who should I read it as?
Do it as Casey Kasem.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, and if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. And could you please play Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me by Mac Davis? That, of course, is the beginning to... Okay, enough of that. My favorite part of that whole intro underneath the theme is when Face, played by Dirk Benedict, sees a Cylon at the L.A. and he raises his little finger because that's a nod to, of course, Battlestar Galactica. But yes, number 25 is the A-Team, composed by, of course, Mike Post and a guy named Pete Carpenter.
And they timed it perfectly when... like all the horns and the crescendos and whatnot, whenever the van was freaking barreling through the air.
Yeah.
They did such a great job with it.
Yes, that is one of the best. I'm surprised it's so high on the list. Number 24 is from a show that we didn't get to watch when it was on originally, but we certainly knew about it. And then when MTV brought the show back to life in the mid-1980s, we all got familiar with The Monkees. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around. We're too busy. Something. And only one of us is still alive.
We're just trying to be friendly.
Who's left? Davy Jones?
No.
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz. Oh, okay.
Jeff used to have a thing for his daughter, Amy.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. My favorite was Peter Tork. I love Peter Torkington or whatever. I'm reading a book about, it's the stupidest book I think I've read in a long time. It's a conspiracy about the Laurel Canyon rock scene. It's called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. Everybody's connected to the military and the CIA, and they're all, everyone, no one died of natural causes.
It's not about the 80s porn star Laurel Canyon?
No, but I'm sure she lived in Laurel Canyon.
That's a is it a play on The Doors' Weird Scenes Inside a Gold Mine?
Yes, because Jim Morrison's father just happened to be an admiral on the boat during the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
Yeah.
Mike Nesmith's mom invented liquid paper and was also associated with the OSS, the forebearer of the CIA. I would love to talk to the guy who wrote it, but he passed away. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Or did he?
Yeah. Or
did he? Under suspicious circumstances. I will tell you, though, when you get to the chapter about Papa from Mamas and the Papas, you know that guy, Phillips, that guy's a creep.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He diddled all of his kids, didn't he? Didn't he diddle McKenzie?
Mm-hmm. He didn't just diddle her. He shot her with the cocaine.
He drugged her and did it.
Number 23 on our top 25 best TV theme songs of all time, courtesy of yardbarker.com. WKRP in Cincinnati. Baby, if you ever wanted. Wonder what ever became of me. I'm living on the air
in Cincinnati.
I'm going to blow my nose. You guys keep.
Got time packing and unpacking.
Town to town.
Up and down the dial.
Yeah, that's right.
But maybe you and me were never meant to be. Maybe think of me once in a while.
I'm a WKRP in Cincinnati.
The senator denied his intoxication, could not explain his nudity.
That was written by Tom Wells and Hugh Wilson, the show's creator, and performed by Steve Carlisle. Number 22, The Rockford Files, is my favorite of one of my favorites of all time. It would certainly be higher than 22. It always opened with a phone call or a bunch of phone messages from, you know, there, it was a Mike Post song, of course.
Mike Post appears several times on the list.
Huh?
Mike Post appears several times on this list.
Yes. This is Jim Rockford at the tone. Leave your name and message and I'll get back to you. And then there was always like some actor or somebody leaving a message. Moving on to number 21 is a cozy little theme written by Quincy Jones. And we all know what that is. It is the theme to Sanford and Son. I can't do it.
Did he do the theme to What's Happening too?
Quincy Jones, I don't know.
I feel like they're kind of similar a little bit. Oh,
the Doobie Brothers did it and they stole it.
Oh.
No, I don't know who did the theme for that, but if we can look it up, it sounds similar. But you hear a Sanford and Son theme, you know you're ready for some quality television, right?
My goodness, yes.
I loved that show. I still watch it if I see it in on. Even when Fred was, or even when Red Fox was like boycotting the show because he wanted more money and they had Grady living there with him. Still funny. But not as, of course.
No.
Coming into number 20, you have the theme composed by U.S.-based Gerald Immel, the theme from Dallas.
Helicopter shots of Texas with the shadow of the helicopter in the shot.
Yes, and the Dallas Cowboys Stadium and the South Fork Ranch. I love Dallas. I absolutely love that show. I even watched the reboot. You know, the last when Larry Hagman was still alive. It was a good show. They didn't drink as much though. Number 19 is a theme song written by singer-songwriter Sidney Curtis, who also wrote the song "I Fought the Law." Love is all around from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Go ahead. I do like the version by Husker Du. If you can find that on YouTube or if you can find it on your streaming service, they do a great version of it. Husker Du singing, "Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it, love is all around. Why don't you make it? You can have the town. Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all."
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Number 18, All in the Family. Those were the days. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
Beautiful.
That was good.
Now all you see is violence and sex on TV.
All good, all fashion values.
You know, Family Guy.
Number 17 is a song written by Andrew Gold. We all know who Andrew Gold was. When the lights go down. Wasn't that him?
Oh, no.
California town. I don't know. But Andrew Gold did write, "Thank You for Being a Friend." And that is the theme, of course, to the Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road, back again.
You're something, something, a friend, and a thing I forget.
And if you do a party,
you invite everyone you knew.
You would see the greatest gift would be for me, and a time past would say thank you for being
a friend. Thank you for pissing yourself. Coming in at number 16 is the Flintstones theme. Yabba dabba doo. Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. And the monsters is Homer. Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
No!
Moving on down to number 15. We're 10 down and 15 more to go. I believe. 15 is a song written by Charles Fox and Normal Gimbel. It was a top five hit for 1970s one-hit wonders Pratt and McLean. And it's called "Ooh, Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. Saturday.
What a day.
Grooving all week with you. These days are
ours. Oh, happy day.
You know,
Camille, Slamizo.
That one's not on here.
Let's hear the theme from Potsy Goes to Space.
Potsy Goes to Space?
Potsy Star Trek.
Oh. Potsy is here in a ship. He's going to space where he will visit the moon. Now into space, and he
is Ralph Mouth there.
Sing to Ralph Mouth, who's playing a Ferengi. Ralph Mouth Ferengi. Da-da.
So they did. So they did use Rock Around the Clock for the first couple of seasons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought, in my mind, I'm sitting here going, wasn't it Rock Around the Clock? But I guess that was for only
Bill
a short
Haley
period
in the now. Comments.
Yeah. Maybe up till season 5. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah. A couple seasons. Happy Days Again. That was what they called in syndication. Potsy's in space. Planets run by Kardashian. No, it's the Kardashians.
Kardashians.
Jean-Luc Picard has the skulls on his desk in the alternate universe. Coming in at number 14 is a song popularized by Robert Altman's brother, Mike Altman. Oh, actually, the son of the director, Robert Altman, who directed the movie MASH. The music was written by Johnny Mandel, who also sang the popular song Suicide is Painless, the theme to MASH. Who sang that in chorus?
Suicide is Painless?
Yes, we sang it in sixth grade, the theme to MASH. And suicide. It brings on many changes, and I can take orders if I please.
You get all the parents out in the audience holding their lighters up.
Yeah, smoking doobs. Number 13 is the Brady Bunch theme, which I never really liked that song. Here's the story of a drunk named Brady who was beating up all of his kids. Billy met a cocaine addict named Carol, who had three little girls, and they made a bunch of movies for the black market, and they sold them to some Russian guy named Jim. Now you can always get arrested if you are caught with them. The pedo bunch. Yeah, the Brady Bunch. Anyway, you guys were now
the pedo bunch.
Hey, number 12 is the theme to the Love Boat, sung by Jack Jones. Dionne Warwick did it on the final season, written by Charles Fox, and of course, Paul Williams did Love Boat.
We'll be making
Come aboard. We're expecting you.
The Love Boat. Should we'll be making another run? The Love Boat.
Trafficking cocaine from South America.
Every chick wants to fuck Doc, and Isaac will make you drinks.
Yeah, that's what Isaac's doing. He's roofing all the drinks.
Yeah. You want some?
Yeah. Anyway, and Fred Gandy will become a congressman.
I like the third break in that song. It's like you think it's over, and then they're like, "And love, it won't hurt anymore."
Especially when you're with Doc. Jack Jones was recently on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. It was a good episode. Ooh, coming in 11, number 11, the problematic show that has a Confederate flag on the top of the car. A song written by, who wrote this song?
Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, Waylon.
He wrote it or did he sing it? It doesn't say who wrote it, but maybe he did write it. Country music legend Waylon Jennings. Good old boys.
Never meaning no harm.
Beats all you never saw.
Been in trouble
with the law since the day they were born. Making the way.
No, wait a minute, though. Does he say, now tell me something. Does he go straightening the curves?
Yeah.
Slapping their heels.
Flattening the hills.
Flattening the hills. Yeah.
Beats all you never saw.
Beats all you ever saw.
Did you say, fuck y'all, you never saw? Is that what he said?
Beats all you never saw.
Beats all you ever saw.
Their way. The only way they know how. And that's just a little bit more than
a And that was filmed here in Covington, Georgia.
Was it really?
Yep.
It looked like they filmed it in California because it looks just like the MASH set.
They did. They filmed. They anytime you see the driving.
Yeah.
Like all that road work and everything, and jumping the stuff and all that. That was done here. And then I think they used downtown as part of the hazard. Plus the Daisy, her house. Actually sits right off of I-20. You can see it now. It's funny, they sold the property, huge estate, like you can see it, got big wall goes around it. Now it is owned by a trucking company and they use it to park all of their rigs. So there's this house right in the center and it's wall-to-wall rigs just all the way around the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Cooter bought it and
house.
Daisy, the one that played Daisy, the actress.
Oh, that was her real house.
Yeah, she bought it when they were filming and everything. She just lived here for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's cool. I thought I heard that Atlanta Pizza and Euro used to be Cooter's Garage.
Yes. That's
what I yeah. Well, speaking of, before we get later to the ad, let's everyone, when you go in next time, let's leave the glory hole stuff out, because my son is really questioning me why four different customers have asked him how the glory hole is in the bathroom.
No, that didn't really happen, did it?
Oh, yeah.
At least Tim Allen is one of those customers. Yeah,
he
sorry.
Was one, yes.
He's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Did you have to have the what is the glory hole discussion with your son?
No. Wait, no. Okay. First of all, was Tim Allen at Atlanta Pizza in Euro?
He What do you mean?
He's the real Tim Allen there. Not our friend.
Our Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, not the actor Tim Allen. I know Tim Allen.
No.
Okay. Answer
no, if real Tim Allen was there, he would have either A, tried to buy cocaine in the bathroom, or B, tried to fill the hole.
Talk about him having a glory hole.
I wonder who came up with that.
Actually, it was Steph that came up with that.
All right.
Leave it to me. Yeah. I've always wanted to encounter a glory hole. I just have never come across.
You need to visit more men's restrooms then.
I just want to stick something through there. Not yeah. a body part.
You need to
but just like
a lady's glory hole.
I want to stick like
a popsicle. Stick your butt through it.
Oh, God.
All right, let's finish this list. Okay. There's like 20 more to go. Number 10 is Mission Impossible. I never liked that show, but I like the movies. I like the opening theme. I wasn't a Peter Graves fan except for Airplane.
And but also, who wrote that?
Lalo Schifrin from Argentina.
That sounds like a made-up name.
Right.
But it says, BJ Thomas, As Long As We Got Each Other, the Growing Pains theme, which is number
Show
9.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile. Don't waste another minute on Tracy Gold.
What's funny
she ain't
is
eat nothing today.
They made that they recorded 4 or 5 different versions of that theme song for over the span of the show.
Yes.
And he recorded like 2. So he recorded 1, then someone else did it, and then he recorded again like 8 years later.
He also had Jennifer Warnes and Dusty Springfield on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he had Gloria what's her face from the
Gloria Hall.
Yeah.
Gloria Hall.
Gloria Hall.
Number 8. Well, the world don't move to the beat. It just wandering.
Well,
my prayer for you, man, not
Gooch.
Man owns a bike shop, Eddie and
he might study in.
Gives you some wine and you play Pirates Without Shirts on.
It's just Gordon Jump. He's just Gordon Jump.
Come on in, Arnold. See, I told you. Everything in the 80s is molestation. That song was written by Gloria Loring and Al Burton. It takes different strokes to move the world.
See, that's who I was thinking sang that with Alan Thicke. I thought it was Alan Thicke and Gloria Loring that sang.
She may have been on it as well.
Okay.
The hubris of the late 70s, early 80s, the only way for an African-American boys to get out of the poor squalor they lived in was to have their mom die and go live with a rich white guy. And that was my aspirations. I wanted
me too.
Yeah, it turned out so well for both of them.
Yes. Hey.
Tom Bridges is okay.
He's great on Twitter. He is. No, he is. He's very positive. And when your Twitter feed is filled with garbage and you get to Todd Bridges and he's like, I'm thanking the Lord for how great.
He was awesome on Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, but when you see him on Twitter and you're in the mire of shit and he says, you know, I want to thank the Lord for giving me another day. I'm happy. I'm like, fuck it. Yes. Todd Bridges is cool. All right, skipping away from that.
I wanted to be the little fat white kid on the Cosby Show.
Who was
Peter?
That? Okay.
I wanted to be Peter because I wanted to get in on that action because they always had a lot of cool shit going at their house and they were loaded.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Stay out of the beverages.
You ate the wrong Fruit Pops. I've never been able to do. Stay away from the Fruit Pops. It was special. Those are for Mrs. Cosby when she gets home.
You have to do a lot of.
Just may learn something. Well, just get a penis put inside of one of your holes. That's not on you. Number 7. Written by Mike Post, Stephen Geyer, performed by Joey Scarberry.
The made it biggest earworm on this list.
Believe it or not, I'm
walking on it. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away, wing and a prayer. Who could it be? I don't know if I told you guys this show caused me to have a closed head injury. This is why I never succeeded in life, is because I watched the show. Me and my mom lived in this apartment when I was about 7, and I tied a towel around my neck and I climbed on top of a clothesline pole and I just jumped off straight onto my head onto the concrete.
So that's what happened to you.
Mm-hmm, because I thought, you know, greatest, I thought I could do it. All I just got up there and just did it like he does.
Magic jammies.
Yeah. No.
This is Steph. People welcome squaddled. To Jackass.
Next thing I know, there were some people who crossed the street who swaddled me in a blanket, took me to the emergency room.
believe it or not, she tried to jump off the clothesline.
Sorry, Steph's parents. There's nothing we can do for her.
All right. Let's bust through the next six because I'm starting to fade. Number six was a song. It doesn't say who wrote it, but I'm assuming that it was John Sebastian. He had a number one hit with this song, and it's called Welcome Back from the TV show Welcome Back, Cotter. Welcome back. Welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you run around. And the dreams that remain since you something, something. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease them a lot because we got them on the spot.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hi there. Great song. Number five, you got the theme to Cheers, where everybody knows your name, written by Corey Portnoy, who also sang the song. Good song, right?
Oh,
I like the second verse that you didn't get to, I don't like the second verse that you didn't get to hear a lot.
When it went to syndication, yeah.
Yeah, roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead. Funny line.
Yeah, he, you know, Nami, you know, the guy who wrote this song. He worked in, the OSS.
Number four, Hawaii 50.
Book him, Dano.
The Ventures did that song. Number three is one of my favorite theme songs of all time. Co-written and performed by Jeanette Dubois, better known as Wilona, on Good Times, but she sang the theme to The Jeffersons. Oh, well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side. To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
We're moving on up.
Let's make it very white. Make it very soulless.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
We
finally got a piece of the pie. Yeah. Beans don't burn
on the grill.
Beans don't burn on the grill.
Burn in the kitchen.
Took a whole lot of try-in just to get up that hill.
Now we up in the big league.
It's my turn at bat.
As long as we live, it's you and me, baby.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Well, we're moving on up. number two.
George.
Yes. Oh, that was his mom. I loved his mom. That character, I forget that actress's name, but George Jefferson's mother and the maid, Florence, were the two funniest characters on the show.
Yeah.
It was mean.
No, but Tom and George were funny together too, though.
Well, they were, but I'm just like, tell Louise I don't want to speak to her right now, George. Well, Mother
Jefferson.
I always like the British neighbor. He always cracked me up.
Oh, Bentley.
Yes. I call Acro McGalley.
Wasn't he like 12 foot tall and we didn't even know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was huge. But he did. He had Acro McGalley. There's that line from, he's in, why can't I think of the name Spinal Tap? And you really are ugly, are you? I'm just as God made me, sir.
Just as God made me, sir.
Do you think next year the Oscar host will call out another endocrine condition like acromegaly instead of the alopecia and get slapped on stage? I'm sorry, sorry.
Depends on the spouse, I guess.
I giant too. you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the fags of life.
Now do the Charlotte Ray version.
I can't sing Charlotte Ray. You take the good. the facts of life. That's number two, and right below that, fabulous conjoined twins of sad news.
I loved that show. What? This is my favorite show.
What, Fabulous Conjoined Twins?
Yeah.
I want the show too.
Fabulous Con. Have some sad news. They're sharing one another.
They're together for the rest of their life.
I'm going to go blow Bobby tonight. Well, looks like you're on ball duty.
Tom Segura. Who did that joke?
Tom Segura.
If you like that show, Steph, you should check out I Am Shauna Ray. It's just one girl, but it's along that same line of
conjoined twin show.
Okay.
Famous conjoined twin show.
One takes bites the other chew.
Funny. Number one, Schlozzle, Awesome Pfeffer Incorporated.
Dun it, dun it, dun dun.
That's number one?
Yes. Yep.
Of course.
Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight as I want to drink some shots beer now.
We're gonna put our glove on this beer.
Blowing on Squiggy.
Oh, my dad owns a bowling alley. You can get pizza too.
They call him Belly Del Vecchio.
My honorable mention wasn't on the list. Another Mike Post song, mm-hmm. Hill Street Blues.
Let's hear it.
Hill Street Blues, 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 Hill Street Blues.
It's kind of a shame it's not up there. All right, Steph, what's yours?
You're just gonna have to suck it, Tim, because there was a few missing from this list that I would just like to say really quickly, mm-hmm. and you guys join in if you'd like. First up, Knight Rider. Miami Vice. Heart to Heart.
Oh, yes.
It was murder.
Oh, my God. Great show. Who played Max? Lionel Stander.
Yeah, he was like one of the voices on the Transformers.
He was? Who did he do on that?
I don't know. Neil told me.
This is my boss. Hi, I'm Max, and I look after the hearts, which ain't easy, as when they met, it was murder. One day, I came home, and I found his wife on the boat.
Oh, no. Wrong Christopher show. Walken was in that, too.
Oops. What other one, Steph?
Oh, Charles in Charge.
That was a good theme song.
Mm-hmm. Charles in Charge of Our Days.
And
no Joni Loves Chachi?
No. Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the 70s rolling bass lines always.
That song was great. Chips.
Oh, yeah, another good one.
Near, 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 near. That had to be a Mike Post, right? Or a Carpenter, what's his face?
It was good, no matter what it was. I forget who did it.
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah. Streak Song of China. Never Matter Before.
Is that Leon Redbone?
Yeah, it was Leon Redbone did the...
My balls had to cancel filming that day.
When you drop kick. Gilligan's Island. How was that on here? Here's a story.
You're set right back in your hair. Tale of a faithful ship.
That started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. Okay, yeah. So we all knew that song like crazy. And Andy Griffin.
Griffith.
Yeah.
Who can whistle? I can't.
All right, Tim, we don't want to get copyright.
Yep. Oh, sorry. But my toss up, these are for my two honorable mentions. One is my favorite theme song of all time, which is Angela's song or whatever, the theme of Taxi.
That's
a good one.
It's my favorite of all time because it symbolizes so much of my childhood that it's 11 o'clock, you're supposed to be going to bed, it's late, it's coming on, you know. And that's one of the things that I love so much about
it. What does a yellow light mean?
What does a yellow light mean? Slow down. Okay. What?
And just Taxi's a fucking jam. Like, you can listen to it now and it's like, it's so funky. And my other favorite, Perfect Strangers. Love this theme song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Standing tall on the wings of my dream.
So
it means that shit. Yes. And because it starts out with the harmonica. Nothing's going to stop me now. That's a good one.
All right. Dustin.
No, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Well, she mentioned a couple of the ones I was going to honorably mention, but the one, my favorite that wasn't mentioned was Simon and Simon.
Oh, yeah, that was a good theme.
Yeah, it started off with a guitar lick. That every time that came on, it was just like, I would pay more attention to the theme song than I would whatever it was going to air after it. It was just like, oh, that theme song's on.
All right. Well,
nobody mentioned Family Ties.
Yeah. Yeah. What would we do, baby?
Yeah.
La, 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 la. What we do in the shadows has a good theme song.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's.
You're cool. Dead. You're dead. And out of this world. All right. Some of mine. The theme from Angie, which was a big hit for I think.
Oh maybe, yeah.
Let the rain flow, let the love grow, let the rain flower. I remember that show, The Courtship of Eddie's Father. People, let me tell you about my best friend. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that great of a show. Square Pegs had a good
Didn't they just go Square Pegs, Square Pegs?
They did, but it was
Square
new,
Pegs, Square Pegs.
New wavy. The Fuck the Brady Bunch, the theme to The Partridge Family is 10 times better than that.
Sing it.
Come on, world. There's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to sing you the lyrics to my favorite of all time. Shit, I just accidentally
woke up this morning.
That's what I was going to say. I can't.
Keep waking up. Keep getting different kinds of gabagoo.
Hang on a minute. Let me find it. Keep going with that. No, I love that show, but that theme song is one of my favorites.
And nobody said Law and Order yet. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Barney Miller, of course. No one's mentioned that yet.
Oh, yeah. Barney Miller.
Ready? Please believe me, lately my whole world is changing. Yeah, suddenly you're here and my life's better than before. We're friends forever, sharing everything together, always understanding just how much the other cares. We're friends forever. You don't remember that?
Is this the show with Tony Randall?
And Swoozy Kurtz.
Yeah. The great Swoozy Kurtz.
That was a great show. It didn't last very long at all. I loved it, but I like Tony Randall because of the Odd Couple. Yeah. So that's why
I watched it. It was like two seasons.
Yeah, she was divorced and something. She left her husband. She went to live with her gay friend, but they never said he was gay on the show. But, you know, because back then, somebody in Iowa might not like
it. I think we talked about all the ones that were mentioned on Facebook except for Mr. Ed.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about Magnum P.I.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'll bust through this real quick. Keith Golden said the theme from Rockford Files. We mentioned that. Pat Turner, of course, just put Magnum P.I. raising his eyebrows. Matt Springer says Barney Miller theme. Ira Malkin posts, believe it or not, you know what we're talking about there. Lost in Space Season 3 from Tom Monroe. So thank you, Tom. Thank you to everybody for contributing.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Cotter. The outro for WKRP, that's Jeremy Healy.
It's all nonsense lyrics.
And our friend from high school and college, Lonnie Frost, who, by the way, his name is Lonnie Frost. We never mentioned him on this show. We went to high school with him. He's a very talented artist. He did cartoons for the newspaper and did stuff for the yearbook when we were in high school, but he also was a really good photographer, and I just got to give him props because he takes all these great pictures of our hometown for the local news, Jeffin, for where Jeff and I grew up.
Jeff, you want to watch your college dorm being torn down?
Yeah.
Follow Lonnie Frost.
But he does get these great shots of weather and stuff. If you're into small town, I just appreciate there's somebody out there doing that because our small towns are where we grew up, and it's important. Let's see. No, but seriously, thank you, Lonnie, for writing the A-Team. The Bionic Man. That was a good one. Odd Couple, Waltons, all those great ones.
Oh, nobody mentioned the Hulk.
That was a good theme as well.
Yeah.
Or the Fall Guy.
That was also a
good. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Fall Guy had a full. You got and they played the full freaking song. Yeah. Oh, the second bar. That's when what's her face Heather Thomas comes out the double doors in the bikini.
Oh yeah,
and has the body that you could never have as a girl, and you would cut yourself.
Oh, trust me, you could never have it as a guy either.
And by the way, if you would like to have a commercial on Radio Labyrinth, if you're a local business and you're listening and you think, wow, I should get involved with this, we'll come out, hang out there, we'll do all sorts of fun things. So just hit us up and we'll tell you how to do that. You can go to our Patreon and we'll tell you how to do that. That's patreon.com/Tim Andrews. For the time being, we are thinking about changing it, so stay tuned. But in the meantime, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Glory hole free since 2022.
Since Dustin's son got that hammer and nail.
The wire up.
Piece of wood.
Linen Pizza in Euro is a longer time sponsor of Radio Labyrinth. We thank them very much. We appreciate Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. You can see their new full color menus with pictures of their food. And they have those available now at the restaurant.
That vegetarian Greek pizza is so good, it's on there twice.
Well, damn, Skippy. Awesome.
They also have a food truck, so follow them on Facebook and check everything out so you can follow their food truck. Mike's been talking to me about some of his friends in the food truck industry and some people we've had on before who are opening their own restaurants. We should do a food truck episode, so keep in mind we're going to be doing that, and that'll be fun. Atlanta Pizza in Euro has a busy spring afoot with the return of Team Trivia every Tuesday night. Bring your friends and enjoy the good food and great local craft beer selection at reasonable prices. Speaking of beers, they just added Lime Creek Brewing's First Crush IPA on tap. They also have Three Taverns Rapturous Raspberry Sour Ale in cans, and my hometown, Tucker Brewing's Georgia Red Lager, which is also in cans in their craft beer lineup, just to name a few. I bet it would be cool. They used to have over at the Tucker Brewing Company food truck night, so I wonder if they still do. I'll have to look into that.
Let's go play Team Trivia sometime, and the name of our team will be the Gloria Holes.
Okay. Well, we've got to be Radio Labyrinth. Atlanta Pizza and Euro love serving their local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and they thank all of you for your continued support in business throughout the years. Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9. Closed on Sunday. So check them out, okay? No glory holes, we swear.
He's trying to get business, Tim. Why are you poo-pooing the glory hole?
Maybe you could take that. You know what? You can watch Big Sausage Pizza in the back room. Never mind. You can't do this to him. Please don't get angry with
that
us.
Greek dressing through the glory hole. It just takes it up. It just goes up the next.
Just go next door to Quiznos to their glory hole.
Yeah.
They have rat meat in their glory hole.
Friggin' Quiznos.
Quiznos. Quiznos hadn't been in business in 10 years. It's firehouse.
We have rat meat in our subs.
Speaking of firehouse.
George was a little rat singing about your sandwich.
Yeah.
We got rat meat.
Why did I love the subs. It is good.
Yes. They took away the all the hot sauce from firehouse. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to get on you if you put this hot sauce. Oh, we're going to get flagged now. We find out that even if you mention it, you get a little flag on your podcast.
Who put AP in G spot?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the dog poop thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my sister, she sent me a thing she got from her apartment complex down in Fort Myers, Florida. She doesn't have a dog. She's got birds, but they sent this out to everybody. If you have a dog in the complex, because they've had so many piles of unpicked up poop all over the place. So if you have a dog, you have to come down to the office and they're going to take a DNA sample from your dog.
They're going to express your dog's anal glands right there in the leasing office.
I think they're just probably going to do a saliva swab is what I'm assuming. And then they'll keep the DNA.
I thought you wanted me to jack it off.
It is Florida. That is possible.
I thought you wanted this stuff. Well, that's the most you're getting right there.
At least they picked it up to bring it into the office.
So why do they want the DNA swab stuff?
They want the DNA swab because if they do find some unclaimed crap out in the area, they're going to send it off to the lab. And if it matches the DNA to your dog, then they're going to fine you $250.
Okay. I think that's a smart idea. I like that idea.
Who Prints is the name of the company.
Who Prints?
It's a genius idea for whoever owns that DNA testing lab.
Well, and I asked in my dog, you know, in Bartville's group, if anybody in there had heard of it. And there have, you know, because there are so many dog people, there are some places in Atlanta that are doing this right now.
I had that idea like 15 years ago when I was living with Tim in River Parkway, though.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Tim about it. I was saying it should be called PSI, Poop Scene Investigators.
Yeah, I love that.
And they have DNA of all the dogs, and they know who the dog is that's doing the crime.
They didn't have the technology back then.
No, it's just expensive as hell.
Technology.
See, what you need to do is just get together with like four or five other people in the apartment complex and all buy puppies from the same litter. And see that.
Oh, yeah. Game it. That's a good way to game it. Or you could just pick up your shit, but I don't know. If it was me, I would get like $10,000 in fine.
You can pick up the shit, pay $25,000 to have a dog cloned from the DNA in the shit.
Or my reaction was you just pick up the dog shit and then you leave some of your own and then just keep on going.
Well, they said, I saw in that thing that it's for 25 samples, it's $2,500. One of the people in my group sent me that. They had the prices for it.
Well,
so,
I assume the fine was the cost of covering.
No,
testing.
They're getting more. They're actually getting more than if they would have test. Because if you test 25,
so they're making money off of it.
Oh yeah. Well, this is the fact that they have to go through the hassle of doing this stuff to shame you. But how about
Kim should just be the guy who'd be like, "Oh, that's Fido."
I want to be.
Let me taste it. Yep, I know what that one is.
I want to meet the rich eccentric person who wants to live in the apartment and just never clean up the shit and just pay these $250 fines like twice a day.
What about the poor girl that works in the office, got to answer the phones, and it just smells like dog shit from behind her because all they're doing is putting dog shit in test tubes and mailing it off.
Got another one. Just found another one.
Damn
this
it.
This is loose. It's loose.
Yeah, see, this one's got a little bit of blood in it. I don't know.
Looks like they're not eating good grade of food.
I smell like apple. Oh, this
you
one.
Want your dog to be able to walk?
DINOVITE.com Dinovite. Yep, I knew what that one was. It's fuck time. All right.
That's Poo Prince's.
Yes. Do we have time for views or snooze, or can we go? I guess.
We can go.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Number one, Tokyo Vice on HBO Max. This is Michael Mann's first TV series in over a decade. It's not a Japan set remake of Miami Vice, so it might as well be.
Okay.
It's got the kid from Baby Driver, right?
Yeah. Ansel Elgort.
Yeah.
That is the short round.
I'll view the first episode.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Samesies.
I'll let you know. If you guys like it, I'll watch it.
All right. So number two is Hard Sell on Netflix. This is a 6-episode mockumentary starring Catherine Tate, who was one of the Doctor Who companions, and she was on The Office. She plays multiple different characters, kind of like Tracy Ullman kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty funny. Set in a women's prison.
Oh, definitely.
I'm in.
Yeah. I like her. I think she's funny. I'll use it.
I'll watch the trailer.
And number three, the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yes, definitely a views.
Nobody's actually going to views it, but I just do not slime Jada Pinkett Smith, no matter what.
Is she the host?
No, but no. If she's in the audience, do not slime her.
Keep my wife's slime.
Keep your slime off my fucking wife.
Keep my wife out your mouth. Do your best.
Oh, all right, guys. Thank you. Thank you for making me laugh so I could get through all this with my horrible, horrible cold. Hopefully it's not COVID.
It's BA1, BA2.
Mm-hmm. It's pine. Yeah. It's pine tree is what it is.
Yeah, Baracus.
I can taste all that pollen. Ugh. Hate it.
It should be all gone from the rain.
Nah, it was horrible for the first 3 days this week. It was in the 4,000s, so that's why. The trees just goon all week.
They're just edging, waiting for you to sneeze. That's all it is.
No matter what you do tonight, or when you're done listening to this podcast, do not Google the term goonette.
I will not. I will take your word for that, sir.
Or blue waffle, for that matter.
I did do that, and I was sad for it.
Or what was that one? The lemon.
I just Googled goonette, and there's a picture of Steph at a female glory hole.
Is there a female glory hole? Yes. Is there?
It's a toilet bowl sized
hole. Oh, my.
All right, we're not going to All right, guys, have a good week. We'll talk to you soon. Look for next week when we have Barry King on.
Yeah.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.